Do you stand for the reading of the Word of God? Once again, we're in the 7th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. This morning, we're in the 12th verse. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. It's the Word of God for the people of God. Maybe see. About 30 years ago, Robert Fulghum wrote a little book that was entitled All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. It sold more than 7 million copies. It became the number one bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. These are the things he said he learned and wrote about in the book. First, share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and drink some and draw some and paint some and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup? The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why, but we are all like that. Goldfish, hamsters, and white mice, and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember the Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all? Look. The popularity of Fulghum's simple wisdom is that it took many of us back to the lessons of our own childhood. And if you noticed, at least half of the things that he said he learned in kindergarten, it was all he needed to know, were all about how do we live together with other people. If we asked Charlie about Eli's place, I'm sure she could tell us that there are a few rules for our children there that are getting them ready to go learn everything they needed to know in kindergarten. When I was a child, they taught us one simple rule. In fact, they gave us a wooden ruler that had it printed on it. That rule was easy to remember. It was not so easy to keep. I would learn later that this timeless rule was about 2,000 years old, and at some point in the 16th or 17th century, they started calling it the Golden Rule, which sort of implies it's the most valuable rule of all. And amazingly enough, I'll bet you every one of us here know it. Can't you say it with me? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, let's face it, of all the things that Jesus ever taught, which are many, this is undoubtedly the best known of all Jesus' teachings by people who follow Jesus and by lots of people who don't follow Jesus. Now, there are a lot of people, particularly those who maybe think that Christians lord the teachings of Jesus above all other moral or ethical teachings, who would argue that the reason this saying of Jesus is so well known is that this is not unique to Jesus, they say, and that something similar can be found in Confucianism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and obviously Judaism, since most of Jesus' teachings are pretty much expounding on things that are found in the Torah. But it's often the case with Jesus' teachings. He not only seeks to simplify the Jewish law, or sometimes to condense it into simple ethical principles, like love God, love your neighbor. But you can argue that Jesus, in the process, always raises the bar. We've already heard some of these things in the Sermon on the Mount, like, you've heard it said of old, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. It's a little more difficult. You've heard it said of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Give to those who ask of you. A little more difficult. So reducing the law into simple ethical principles didn't mean reducing the difficulty of keeping it. It literally, when Jesus taught, became easier said than done, like the Golden Rule. While sounding very similar to Jesus' version, all the versions found in other religions and even in the Torah have one significant difference. They're all stated negatively. And consequently, they're really a call to passivity. In essence, they all say, don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. which is pretty much a common theme in the Jewish Torah. I mean, think about the Ten Commandments, for example. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't covet other people's stuff. The uniqueness of Jesus' version of this rule is a call to actively seek to do good to other people, not just to not do harm to other people. John Wesley, founder of Methodism, picked up on both sides of this admonition, and he created what we'll call the general rules of Methodism. Rule number one was, do no harm, right? Don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. But rule number two was, do all the good you can to all the people you can, and all the places you can, and all the ways you can, and all the times you can. In other words, do unto others, not just avoid don't doing bad things, but doing good actively. The third rule was, attend to the ordinances of God, or basically paraphrased as, do what you need to do to stay connected or stay in love with God. But because of this unique positive spin that Jesus gives this golden rule, and his call to actively seek the good of other people, we do tend to espouse this teaching of Jesus as the highest ethical standard to which we could strive. And maybe we even imply that this simple rule that we all learned in kindergarten is really all you need to live by. I mean, after all, Jesus did make that comment. It sums up all the law and the prophets. But at the same time, it's important for us to remember Jesus is come to move us beyond merely the law and the prophets, to move us from law to grace and from justice to love. So what I'm saying is, I'm going to disagree with this idea that the golden rule is the highest ethical standard and that what we learned in kindergarten is the only rule we'll ever need. And let me tell you why. It really has to do with the context out of which this rule was given. In the last verse of this section of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, verses 1 to 12, we've been looking at that little section for 4 weeks now. And I would say that this last verse, this golden rule, is a verse that really capitulates to our fallen humanity. Instead of really calling us to something even higher, which Jesus will eventually do. See, the context of the golden rule is this. Remember what Jesus has just finished saying in this chapter? Don't judge that you may not be judged. Why do you try to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye when you can't see the log that's in your own eye? Or don't cast your pearls before swine or give what's holy to the dogs. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you're trying to get someone to change, don't use contempt, don't use condemning to try to straighten them out in some way. And don't try to shove your solutions to their problems down their throats. Instead, Jesus said, as we looked at last week, why don't you try respecting them enough to ask, to seek, to knock, or maybe even begin with going before God and asking God to do something in them that we can't force upon them ourselves. Then he ends this section with a summarizing verse that begins with the word so, or sometimes therefore. Interestingly enough, our translation this morning omits this really important summarizing particle in this passage, because that in essence says, in light of what I just said to you, so, therefore, in light of what I just said to you, why don't you at least try doing this? Just do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Which sounds to me, doesn't it, like Jesus is assuming a certain degree of narcissism in us? Or at least that in our sinful state, that inevitably treats ourselves differently than we treat other people? Which is why we can see that speck in our neighbor's eye and not see the log in our own. And why we're really happy to shove our pearls of wisdom down their throat without ever considering from their perspective what might be best for them. And it's why we don't often ask and seek and knock. We just barge on in ahead and do what we want. So maybe Jesus is saying, because you're human and because you're sinful, you're always going to battle self-interest. So maybe the best strategy in light of that is to try applying that self-interest into how you relate to other people. Do to them what you would have them do to you, right? Now, when you think about what you want, now that's an easy thing to do. You're probably going to do that anyway. We're always going to think about what we want. And then maybe we just turn around and try applying that to other people, Jesus said. Maybe we'll have at least a little self-awareness. And don't get me wrong, the golden rule is a really good rule. But you might could argue that an even better rule or a higher rule might be, do unto others what they would have you do unto them. Right? See, the problem with doing to them what I want done to me is it still doesn't take into account how they feel or what they want. It really means I don't really have to get to know them. I just do what I would want done to me. So maybe this is a great rule for how we treat strangers or chance encounters like driving in traffic or standing in the grocery store line. But when it comes to people that we're in personal relationships with, treating them like I want to be treated doesn't take into account that they may be different than me. Some of you might have read Gary Chapman's now classic book about relationships called Five Love Languages. Chapman contends that because we're all different, we don't all experience or receive love in the same way, or at least that there are expressions of love that are more meaningful to some people than to others. They're categorized five ways: words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. And the point of the book is, if we will get to know the person we're in relationship with well enough, we might say that we could do unto them as they would have me do unto them, not as I would have them do unto me. Because we may be very different. And we may receive love or guidance or correction in very different ways. I mean, don't get me wrong when I say this. I'm not criticizing the golden rule. It is a high calling to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Because, for the most part, we really do love ourselves. We may be hard on ourselves, but we love ourselves. And we may want what's good for you, but in the end, we probably all want what's good for me. Our discipleship, this act, this lifelong journey of following Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is the process of growing beyond self-interest. Until then, I guess we can just practice the golden rule. We can parlay our self-interest into the most noble way that we are capable of treating other people. One other way to think about this might be as a call to develop empathy and not just sympathy. Those things are different, right? Sympathy is identifying with the situation that another person is in. Empathy, on the other hand, is being able to take on the perspective of someone else. So when we say we have sympathy, we might say, I feel for you. And if I were you, this is how I would feel, or this is what I would do. But the problem is, I'm not you. And I don't really know how you feel. I only know what it's like to be me. The only way I'm going to know how you feel, what it's like to be you, is to really get to know you and to know your heart. Of course, that also means that it can't be about me all the time. Anyway, as we come to the table this morning, I was wondering as I prepared this week if what Jesus did on the cross was to practice the golden rule. Did he do for us what he would have us do for him? And I really think the answer is probably no. I think what he did for us is what we would have him do for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us, Paul said. Now, I would say that Jesus did for us on the cross what he hoped we one day could grow in to be able to do for others. That is, to live without our self-interest, sacrificially and self-giving. He was hoping that, freed from the bondage of sin and self-interest, we might grow up. And that by one of those sacrificial, self-giving acts of love, we would change people's hearts, one at a time, until we all become like him. And his will that's done in heaven would then be done on earth. But until then, what we learned in kindergarten, this golden rule, is probably still a pretty good place for us to start. Even if it is, when you come right down to it, still all about me. Amen.